Welcome to All Things Gaming, aka At Least We Tried Things Gaming. I am Malachi 36 with It's a Nine Ball and Mildew and Carrot. And yo peeps, long time no see. Eskill inside the chat, man. Hope you're doing well. So it has been a long time. Hope everything's going good in Denmark. Doing okay, just been working and yep, I hear you, man. But yeah, welcome to episode 26, All Things Gaming, season 2, on a beautiful July 12th, 2022. I apologize in advance if there's coughing throughout this episode. On my end, my cough left me after 3 weeks for like a day and a half, and now it's like trying to sneak its way back in. So if I shut up for a while, I'm confident that Mildew Care and It's Nightball will take over on that. But enough about me. Mildew and Carrot, how are you doing today?
Doing okay. Can't complain. Living life. Been playing some V Rising. Been loving that game. Having a grand old time. So enjoying that. Been playing also some more Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Masters. Getting tired of some of these engines that they bring out. And like, oh, well, it's got a problem in TCG, so they banned some cards. I'm like, then why didn't you install it with that ban? Like, please and thank you.
I agree. So, Eskill season 2. Yes, we are officially on season 2 for this year. So, yeah, having some good stuff there. It's the Nine Ball Corner Pocket, my dude. How are you doing, man?
Oh, okay.
Oh, there we go.
I was still muted for a bit there.
He muted himself.
Yeah, I had to go. Had a quick call. But I'm doing good. Doing really good. Been just gaming it up. We've been watching my niece and then we've been watching Stranger Things again, so we've been re-watching that. Been going on hunts here with Mildewy and Monster Hunter. Yeah, been getting those hunts going and also been doing quite a bit of Master Duel, getting fed up with some of these engines as well.
Reach it.
Yeah.
Preach the hate.
I mean, for me personally, an Altergeist fan. I mean, I was a good old Altergeist. But my deck almost can't survive in these. It has to go first, and it has to set up a board. Otherwise, it has problems.
Yeah, that's one thing that just games in general, when it comes to the competitive side, it's annoying when people find little niches in metas and just break it for everybody else to where it's not even fun.
Even in Master Duel, they knew that they already had a problem with some of those cards. That's the reason why they straight up on some of them, even in like the TCG and the OCG, they've already banned some of those cards already.
Yeah.
Some of those cards have been straight banned in the OCG, TCG, like Protoplanet, Christian Hauk, which you will see a lot of Christian Hauk you find
Precious and Diamonds.
Yeah.
You see a lot of him.
Yeah.
Most of them setting up field negate stuff like that.
Yeah, just annoying stuff just in general, and it just doesn't make it fun or even competitive. You're playing Tekken, you get popped up one time, and then you just wait until the round is over. Even if you're at full health, because they're just juggling you for the rest of the match. Like, what's the point of that? So, that's the part that's a little frustrating. Eskill, forgot how beautiful you guys are. Well, we didn't forget how beautiful you are, man. We didn't forget how beautiful you are, you know?
I was asking Malachi off screen, and I was like, man, I hope Eskill's doing okay. You know, it's like we haven't heard from him in a while, but, you know, I know things have been crazy in the world, so,
yeah.
You know, to everyone out there, you know, hopefully y'all doing okay, y'all staying safe, and, you know, you and your loved ones, so.
Yeah, you know. I'm not the best with geography or anything like that. I don't know how close Denmark is to Ukraine, but hopefully you're not being affected by that at all, which is really unfortunate for Ukrainianites and everything right now. Hearts still go out for them for the war that's going on right now, and hopefully this will all come to a peaceful, quick end here soon. I know that the last update that we had, and I won't harp too much on this because it's a gaming podcast and everything like that, but the last update that I heard about this was, I think Russia was running out of money for the war, which I kind of hope happens to the point so it just stops. and the Ukrainian Knights could just go back to minding their own business, because I feel like that this was an unprovoked thing. So, again, I don't know so much about it on the political standpoint of it, but it just seemed very left field and unnecessary for this to happen.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, but games I've been playing lately, I've been playing a lot of Stranger of Paradise with Gravity, for sure. There's a funny story about that, which I won't bore you guys with right now, but... the quick version is that me and Gravity got to this boss on TMI on Stranger of Paradise, and we got through the first stage. We had a little struggle there on a couple runs, but for the most part, we got through the first stage just fine. And then that second stage, we were doing fine. And then when it gets down to a fourth of its health left, it would regen and do 9,999 health. Healing it all the way back to half health every time. We had no idea. Like I had to look it up to see what we had to do. And when we were about to go ahead and thank you very much, Mildewy, for that. When we were about to go ahead and put my plan in motion, what I had looked up online, Silent had joined us, and we were just like, "Hey, Silent, like we're only doing one more run because it's close to midnight here. We both have to work in the morning, but we're just only going to do one run. And if we're able to get it, awesome. If we can't, then that's so be it." Silent was just like looking at his build. He's just like, "Okay." And I told him the plan that we were going to do, and Silent literally said, "Oh, that won't be necessary." And I was like, "Okay." Literally two shots this boss. He hits him, and to that first stage, his life is just gone. And then Gravity went up because he was the host. So Gravity went up, did the cinematic. And then the second stage that we had struggled with, bam, Silent hit him again and it was game over. And it was just like, what the, like... And apparently, at least on Silent's behalf, his guy wasn't overpowered. It was a sequence of abilities he was able to use, which is overpowered. I don't know if that's something that he found out with his own formula. I think we talked about it a little bit. But it was literally like watching Sephiroth in Final Fantasy VII Original for the first time ever in action, which was insane. It was, like, my mouth was on the floor, and I knew I was not sleep deprived watching him do this. So it's definitely pretty awesome there. I've been playing NBA 2K 22. Been playing a little bit of that. Also been playing Monster Hunter World on our SIN segments on Thursday. Getting through that campaign with the Quattro. And then lastly, I believe, what else am I playing? I have Cyberpunk reinstalled. I haven't started that back up yet, but I am going to be getting back to that. And then lastly, there was one more of the game that I have that I can't remember. I can't remember why I started. I've been actually gaming quite a bit lately, so there you have it. S-Kill, this is actually funny. All right, first and foremost, thankfully not too hurt by it. Everything's really expensive at the moment, but we're chilling life. Yeah, that's same for us. We haven't been affected by it as of right now, except for the prices of everything here. Like, I mean, of course, the pandemic is still a mess. And then you also have this war that's causing all this crap to happen. Oh, it's funny that you said, what's your favorite games at the moment? Because that's actually sort of our story number one. Yeah, it's almost like you looked at the doc and was like, "Hey, let's go and talk about this, boys." I do want to kind of talk about games, video games of a lifetime. That's what it's called. So I put select consoles from all old up until the last gen, which is PS4 and Xbox One. And when we think about these games, I want to talk about the game that is the best game on this console for you personally. And Esco, feel free to throw inside the chat like what your games are for those consoles if you played them. If you haven't played the console or wasn't a fan of the console, you can just say pass if you don't have any games to shout out there for that particular console. I don't want any ties. I do want to say that, so I can't be like, "Oh, it's this and this." No, I want to have one definitive game of a lifetime.
Ooh.
Yeah,
such one a hater.
For each console. Hey, that's going to be kind of tough for me, too, because I actually have a couple ties, but it has to be definitive.
Between Final Fantasy, you know, 7 and 9 is not a tie, sir.
It still is a tie, but and then to end out this little portion, this little content segment of it, I do want to ask, what's your favorite games at the moment? Which Eskil just threw in there, which I think goes perfectly with this question. So I want to start it off with Nightball for Game Boy Advance. What is your game of a lifetime time for Game Boy Advance?
It was Mortal Kombat.
For Game Boy Advance? Nice.
Was it Mortal Kombat? No, I'm thinking of the Game Gear. I'm thinking of the Game Gear.
Okay.
He was in the wrong system.
I was about to say, I don't think it was. I mean, that's awesome if it was.
I never played the Game Boy Advance. I played the original Game Boy.
That'll suffice too. Game Boy / Game Boy Advance.
Zelda.
Okay. Awesome. Mill, do we carry
for Game Boy Advance?
Game Boy Advance / Game Boy.
Pokemon. All the way.
That's the same for me, too. Now, was there specifically a color for you that stuck out to you? Because for me, it was yellow.
Not really, no. I enjoyed all of them, to be completely honest. I was not disappointed or saddened by any of them, at least in my opinion. So, I enjoyed just playing all of them. So, yeah, Game Boy, Pokemon. The Pokemon games, not the Pokemon Dungeon mystery games, you know, not those.
Right. Yeah, mine's the same answer as Mildewy. It was Pokemon. And then S-Killed is putting us in a retirement or nursing home. Man, I ain't as old that I played those Game Boys. Yeah.
I'm going to date myself even more, S-Killed. I was in Cub Scouts when the Game Boys first launched in the U.S., and I bought one. Was playing Pokemon Blue on my way to an actual camp out.
assuming you know what Cub Scouts is, because I don't know if that's a universal thing.
It's kind of like a troop where it's like you have like a grouping. It's like they actually teach you like different little, like, it's kind of like a mini survival group and all. So, man, I only played PS1 to 4. Hey, I played PS1 too. Hey, I remember when PS1s first came out.
Yeah,
Sega was dying. I remember when Sega Dreamcast died.
This is on that's on the list, so you'll have your moment to shine for sure. Super Nintendo. I'm gonna start it this time. Mine, Super Nintendo, I can't remember the name of it, but there was a ninja game that was like two player, but it was like kid ninjas. And it was like a mixture of Zelda, but then when they had the fighting, it was like almost like a side scroll. It was almost like a side-scroller. It was actually really cool. I can't remember the name of it, but it was definitely that. If I have to put a name to it, it would definitely be Mario, obviously. Mildewy.
Ooh, Super Nintendo. I didn't own one, but I did have some friends who did when I was younger. Give me a minute here to remember what they had. Mainly a lot of what I remembered from it was Mario, but what was... Yep, okay, it was on there. I was trying to remember if it was on there or not. Star Fox.
That was on Super Nintendo. I thought it was on 64.
Yes,
it was. That's why I had to double check, because I thought it was on 64, but it did originally come out.
Talk like
on Super Nintendo, 1993.
Wow.
Now...
Yeah,
like I said, I did play Donkey Kong and the Super Mario stuff on there, but I had to double check because I'm like, I couldn't remember if that was on there, because I do remember playing that, and I did love me some Star Fox.
I remember that. Like the...
Wow. Yeah. Ribbit, 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 ribbit. Just like dots.
Dude, you would have to check that out. It looks like polygons. Actually bring that up and look at it.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look at that here a little bit later.
You talk about old school.
Yeah, like, it's polygon. Talk about. It is just straight up polygon.
Nine Ball.
Oh. Easy. Emmitt Smith football. Leo Flicker. Every play.
Just the way he said that. I don't even know the game. And just the way he said that's making me laugh. Well,
that's the thing. That's the thing. Is that it was so left field. I was not expecting that to come out of Nightball's mouth. I was expecting some Mario. I was expecting Luigi's Mansion. Oh, that was
like,
hilarious.
That's the game I remember the most. Was like me and my brother used to play hours of Emmitt Smith football. And if you want to take a chance, you pass the ball.
That's good stuff. The next one. Still keeping up with the Nintendo side. N64. I want to take on over to Mildew this time and then going over to Nineball.
Ooh. N64.
This one's a tough one.
Yeah, this one's definitely a little bit of a toughie because this one I definitely... So there's actually a little bit of a backstory with this system. So Game Boy was one of the first ones I bought for myself when I was younger. But when I used to live overseas too, like I'm an Army kid, so my dad moved around a lot. When we first moved back to the U.S., our folks bought me and my brother an N64 as our first console system. So it's the first one we ever owned. And we played the mess out of that. Like you remember Game Sharks there, Nineball, huh?
I remember Game Sharks.
Like, I played Mario Golf, Mario Kart, Mario Tennis, Pokemon Stadium, you know, GoldenEye, Star Wars Rogue Squadron. You know, we had a whole bunch of stuff going on there. And just to choose one.
I know. 64 is tough.
Yep, one definitive one. He said, and also Eskel says, "Man, I'm too young for this." I promise you, we're going. if anything,
we'll get to the newer stuff here.
If anything, this is the History Channel for you until we get to the stuff that you recognize.
Yeah. Be lucky.
I'm gonna have to go with Mario Kart. And the reason why is because it was the family game. So me, my brother, my mom, and my dad, like, that's the game. That's the one game that they would actually sit down and play with us that we could all play together and just have some fun with that. Our parents suffered through the gamers playing, you know. So I definitely would have to probably say, in terms of just full fields and all, Mario Kart 64.
Nice.
Even though I loved all the other games I had on there.
Nineball.
Oh, God, this one's tough for me. It's like so many good games on 64 I used to play. From GoldenEye to the Far Side on, what was that? Perfect Dark. Oh, man. I'm actually going to go with Jet Force Gemini, though.
Good pick.
I used to play the mess out of that when I was younger. We used to love playing some Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah. Hey, and Eskil, I mean, I know, again, you probably don't know a lot of these titles or anything like that, but if you're interested in looking at some vintage video games, that's the way to do it, man. That you're able to take some notes of what we're talking about right now, man. See how game has evolved from that point.
Pokemon Stadium, Wave Racer, Star Wars Rogue Squadron.
The one I will say for me, I can go with the easy answer for me, which is Super Smash Bros. But I'm going to go with the Trojan Horse. I'm going to go Snowboard Kids. That was my jam. That was absolutely my jam, especially in a partying setting. That was way too much fun. They had a Snowboard Kids 1, Snowboard Kids 2, but Snowboard Kids 1 is what I'm specifically talking about. It very much was like SX Tricky meets Cool Borders meets Mario Kart.
I was actually kind of expecting you to say Mystical Ninja.
No.
Starring Goemon.
Yeah, no.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
Eska said, "I mean, my brother played some of them, so I know a few, but never played them myself." Yeah, that's all. I mean, again, to each their own. If you have a Nintendo Switch, I know that they have that little service to where they are bringing up some of the older games on the Switch. So if you want to check out some of these for a subscription fee, you're welcome to do that. I know Game Pass is kind of bringing up some of the older games as well as PlayStation. That's kind of a newer thing too as well. Or if you just want to go into Amazon, it's Amazon Prime Day right now. You gotta try to look up some of these old video game consoles, possibly buy them from there, and then buy the games that go with it. So, whatever shakes your bacon, my dude. Nineball.
Yes.
We're moving on over to GameCube, Nintendo GameCube.
Ooh.
Yes.
This one's easy.
Okay.
Bloody Roar.
Primal, yep.
We played the mess out of that. I swear to God, we went round after round on Bloody Roar.
Yeah.
I used to play some mean Stun the Insect. You get me Stun. Dude, I could just tear people apart with Stun, dude. That was my character right there. I don't know. Oh, go on ahead.
Well, I was going to say the positive real fast because I did. We actually talked about this last week on last podcast. He says, "What do y'all think about PlayStation Plus Extra?" Me and Nineball actually have premium, and it's definitely a deal for sure. Like, it's definitely worth getting. But I will say, for what content they have right now, the best is probably Extra. Just because the PS2, 1, 2, 3, and Vita library is really lacking right now. But the trials is, definitely makes it worth it for the premium member. And then you still have access to everything else from Extra and below. So, like for Stray, that comes out literally a week from today. And that's going to be on Extra and Premium. But so me and Nyball, like I said, we gave our review on that like last week. And it's definitely something worth upgrading from, at least from Essential to Extra. But if you're looking for Extra till Premium, I probably wouldn't go Premium unless you're really looking into playing Siphon Filter, Tekken 3, like some of the older vintage games that's out there. Or if you want to stream, like Asura's Wrath, that was a great one for sure. Stuff like that. So... But back to you. You were saying GameCube, you're doing this, the insect. Mine was definitely Yugo. I love the wolf, man. He was like, all that. He was
Okay. Yeah, I used to use Stun. I used to use, what was that, Cat Girl Yuriko?
Yeah, I liked him. And then there was Sheng and Shang Long. Those were my two Long, tigers.
Yeah, the tigers, yeah.
Yeah, Long. It was Long and Shang Long. That's what it was. It was Long and Shang Long.
Because they had, who was, Gato was the lion. Because they had Gato.
Yeah.
And what was the other chick that was like him? I can't remember her name.
I don't remember her name either, but I know you're talking about that.
Yeah. And my brother used to play, who was that, Burrico the Mole.
That's my boy, man. They have some dope characters in that game. But I didn't want to take on over to Mildew because he's been chilling waiting for to tell us his GameCube pick.
Okay. This one definitely is a little bit harder for me because there was a lot of good games on GameCube that I loved. Zelda Wind Waker. Pokemon XD was such a unique game. Twilight Princess. But I have to say Metroid Prime.
Yes, that all was a the good way. Game.
All that the way great, with Metroid Prime. Game. That even beats out my Star Fox Adventures. Metroid Prime and Metroid Prime 2 were just fantastic games on GameCube. Just so good.
I have an honorable mention. It's not on my list, but I have an honorable mention because this was one game that intrigued me to the point to where I was like, man, maybe I need to get a GameCube and maybe I need to pick up this game and start this franchise up. And that is Majora's Mask. Majora's Mask was definitely one that I was like, this is actually really cool. But that's not my pick. My pick is Phantasy Star 1, Episode 1 Plus 2. That completely shifted the gear for me. I would say Bloody Roar if it didn't get any love, but thankfully my boy here, Nightball, gave me some love, so I'm going to say Phantasy Star 1 Plus 2. That was probably my first intensive RPG outside of the Final Fantasy series, obviously, all that good stuff. Mildew, I want you to start this one, which is Dreamcast.
I never played Dreamcast, unfortunately. That was the one that I never really got into.
So you're passing?
I am going to have to pass on Dreamcast, unfortunately.
I have Nineball. I need you to say heads or tails.
Heads.
Okay, so mine is Ready to Rumble Boxing.
Ooh.
My tails was the Sonic Adventure games. Because there's a Sonic one that was a 3D, like, open world, can travel anywhere, which was definitely a unique concept. Like I said, there's no ties here, which is why I had you do heads or tails. There's no ties. Ready to Rumble Boxing was that for me.
Not all right. Power Stone.
Oh, I don't know why I didn't say Power Stone. Oh. Power Stone.
We play four-player Power Stone all the time.
I have to take mine back. Me and Nineball have the same one. We have the you same can't. Exact
we
one.
We play Power Stone like what hours.
That's what I'm saying. I played Power Stone just as much as I played Super Smash Bros. Back in the day. I can't believe I didn't even say Power Stone. I cannot believe it. I can't believe it. Like, it doesn't even feel like a Dreamcast game. I think that's why I didn't even say it. But it's that's the answer. That is the answer. It's not House of the Dead 2, which I also played a lot of. It's not House of the Dead. It's not. It is Power Stone. Wow. Completely overlooked that. Oh, wow. And I've been talking about a remake, too, periodically throughout the year of Power Stone. I don't know why I did not talk. I am so disappointed in myself. I'm going to shut up right now and take this next one on over. PlayStation 1. S-Killed, we're in your realm. PlayStation 1, you guys already know. Are you surprised? Final Fantasy VII Original. Enough said. There's not even enough. I'm not going to talk anymore. Nine ball.
Final Fantasy VIII.
Respect. Respect.
It was one of my first Final Fantasy games. I seen a friend playing it. And I was like, this looked kind of interesting. I'll give it a shot. So I went ahead and I started playing. I absolutely loved it. Yep. I swear I sunk an hour playing Triple Triad. I'm not gonna lie.
Same, yeah. Yeah, it's been, like, those Final Fantasy minigames are so freaking fun. Like, I don't know what the minigame is on 9. I haven't got to that point yet. But I know that 10...
Something to do with coins. That's all I remember. It had a lot to do with these coin things.
Yeah, I know that 10 had Blitzball. Like, Blitzball was such a huge minigame. It was such a huge minigame that people that didn't even like to play turn-based Final Fantasies bought the game just to play Blitzball. Like, I know people that actually did stuff like that. Final Fantasy VIII, yeah, the card game was off the chain to me. Final Fantasy VII, there was the Golden Saucer, so all these different minigames that was up there and everything like that. Yeah, it definitely has a really impeccable minigame selection when it comes to the Final Fantasy series. The one the one thing, though, that that intrigued me, and this is my last thing I'll say about Final Fantasy, because I can Final Fantasy out all day, but the thing that had the thing that had got me that for Final Fantasy VII Original, or VII and VIII, before I even played it, was the fact that it was multiple discs. That was the first time I've seen a game that was 3-4 discs long. I've never seen a game like that, so I was always intrigued to see what that journey will look like, and it was an amazing journey for me, in my opinion. Mildewy, PlayStation 1.
Gonna have to go with Spyro.
Spyro the Dragon, yeah. That's a solid pick.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one game me and my brother, when we first got PlayStation, we got that and we played all straight through. So Spyro, for sure.
Keeping it on you there, Mildewy. PS2.
Uh-oh. Ooh, PS2. Mm. I don't know what to say. It's such a hard thing, Kingdom Hearts. Come on.
It's like, this is all so sad. Kingdom Hearts. Yeah.
And as soon as that game came out and I got it and was playing it, dude, it just spoke to my soul.
So I was late to the party on Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts didn't really actually... late. Yeah, no. I was still in the same era. Like, PS3 hadn't came out yet. So I was still in that same era, but... when it came out, it didn't grab me because I saw some of the characters that looked cool, and then I saw all these goofy Disney, literally Goofy and Donald, and I was like, what is this? This is looks like it's all over the place. So I didn't even bother with it until I go to one of my buddy's house one day, and he's playing, and I was like, is this Cloud? Is that Sephiroth? Like, what is this game? So I had to go back and play it, and yeah, it was fantastic. Absolutely, that's a great pick right there. Great pick. Keeping the energy, my pick for PS2 probably would have been Kingdom Hearts if I was earlier to the party. And it probably would have been the Bouncer as well if Final Fantasy X did not exist. Final Fantasy X, hands down, was the game of a lifetime on PS2 for me. It was a launch title, like launch window, I guess you could say. It came out as the console was coming out. It was one of those promotion things that was pushing PS2. That was the first time I ever felt drawn very much to get a console at that time period, like when it came out. I wanted it my first console that I got at launch was my PS4, but the PS2 though had that desire to be like, yo, this is next level stuff, this is really dope. So yeah, and then Final Fantasy X just has an impeccable story. Even for like right now, you don't even have to, they have the PS5 the PS4 remaster of the Final Fantasy X and 10-2. So you have that. That's on there. And it still looks beautiful. I mean, you have the... For what it is, obviously. And it's just like a story that's just very unique, very immersive. And it's just a great time. Final Fantasy X, easy for me. Nine ball.
I would have to go with 10 as well. It's one of the most memorable games I remember.
Same.
It's one of the games I think I sunk the most time in. I mean, I was so deep into that game that, to be honest, I did the, what was that, 200 lightning strikes?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. You had to dodge them.
Yeah,
dodge. Dude, that was so, yeah.
Consecutive.
Yeah. I remember that. And if you got hit once, you had to start over.
Yep.
That was crazy to me, man. I mean, I did it. but it was,
I did it too.
Crazy to me, yeah.
I had every Aeon on that game.
I did not. That one I did not do. Because some of those Aeon fight, like to get those Aeons, like Anima and the Sisters and stuff like that, some of those fights were really hard for me at that time. I don't know if it'll be like that now, but it definitely was hard for me back then.
I forgot how you did it. You had to...
There's secret coordinates you had to go to.
Yeah. No. On one of them, I believe you had to... I think to get the Sisters, you had to do every cluster of trials and get, like, the secret item.
Oh, I was just talking about, like, everyone's, like, main weapons.
I didn't get all the main weapons. I know I got Riku's. I got, who else? I got Lulu's. I got, Yuna's. I didn't get Titus's, because in order to get his, you had to, you had to, what did you have to do? You had to finish the one race in 0 seconds.
Yeah. Because it keeps going back in time as
you go. Yeah, you hit those balloons or something. Yeah. And I never finished it, so.
Yeah. And also, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen that's watching right now or watch later on, this is also coming from guys that had dodged 200 lightning bolts. We weren't willing to do a race in 0 seconds. So, tells you how hard that was. Keeping the same energy right here with It's the Nine Ball. PS3.
I never had a PS3. I never really got to play one. I'm going to have to take the pass on this one.
Okay.
It was games I wanted to play, and I was always hoping that Premiere would have the better selection. I was always hoping that they would, I would be able to finally play the games that I always wanted to.
Right. I feel that. Mildewy Carrot. And we'll probably, before Mildewy Carrot goes, there's still hope. They're adding to the service regularly and stuff like that. We just got to see what that cadence go look like in the future now that it's brand new.
Mildewy
Carrot. PS3.
It's going to have to probably be Resistance.
Ooh, good pick. That's a good pick.
It's the only one I can think of currently off the three. I didn't do too many things on the three, even though I've got one. So, but out of them all, I'd say Resistance definitely had a very good intrigue to it, too.
Okay. I dig that. For me, it definitely is Uncharted 2. Uncharted 2 was a very, very easy pick. it was definitely fantastic. It was that actually, like, at that time period, I only knew a select amount of people that had PlayStations. Because if you guys remember, PlayStation, like, from PS2 to PS3, that's when the turns and tides had changed. Because PS2 and Xbox One, they were out, and or not Xbox One, but the original Xbox, they're both out, but PlayStation still had the higher hand, mainly because it had a PlayStation before that. But then an Xbox came out, and there's some people that are interested in it, but it just was not up here to PS2. Then Xbox 360 came out, and that turned heads. That was doing fantastic stuff there. And then PS3 came out afterwards, where, again, everyone's audience was up here for PS3. They wanted it until they announced the price of the console and they announced the price of the games. and it was just a big no-no. So the market of getting inside that generation of gaming was just so much more easier for Xbox. So all my friends at that time period had an Xbox 360. I barely knew anybody that had a PS3. Barely knew anybody. And so, yeah, so at that time period, that was a huge gap where I was strictly an Xbox guy. Not even necessarily by choice, but, like, whenever I go to someone's house, we're all playing Xbox together, all just jamming, playing Halo 3, playing Naruto Ninja Storm. Like, we're just literally just playing Xbox all together. At a certain point time period, my buddies that I used to always go to the house was moving away, but then other people still wanted to game together, so I was, like, debating if I was going to get myself an Xbox 360. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I just couldn't do the whole... At that time, you had to pay for gold on a monthly or whatever like that. And it was just like, there wasn't enough games to justify me doing that. And so I was just like, I just can't do it. And I went over to my one buddy's house, the one friend that had a PS3. I'm seeing him play Uncharted multiplayer. And I was just like, what game is this? And that's when he's telling me about it. And I was just like, how much is the subscription? He's like, PlayStation 3 doesn't have a subscription. I was like, okay, I know where my money needs to go to next. And that's exactly what I did. Yeah, that one game. There's other games that I play on the PS3. But that one game is definitely what sold the console for me to be like, should I get 360 and play with my friends that all have these games? Or go ahead and pick up this console and get Uncharted 2? And that's exactly what I did. And then at that point, I started playing Need for Speed. And I played DC Universe Online. It was just a fantastical time. So, yeah, that I would say Uncharted 2 was definitely my game of a lifetime for PS3. Mildewy Carrot, PS Vita /PSP.
Ooh.
Monster Hunter.
Facts. Okay, no argument there. No argument. Yeah.
You can't argue that. Don't argue with me.
Yeah, no. There's no argument. Yeah, absolutely no argument. That's definitely one of my top five for when it comes to PSP /PS Vita. Nine Ball.
Hmm. PlayStation Vita.
/PSP.
/PSP. I'm trying to think of a game. I played quite a few, but I think I played more throwback. I think the one I played the most was actually the third birthday.
Okay.
Ooh.
I remember because that's actually during that time period, that's when I met you. And you were always telling me about the third birthday, and I was just like, I don't know what this
that's
is.
That's a good one. That's a very good one.
I didn't know what it was, but I knew that he was always talking about it. There's that, and there's one game that I'm going to mention. Actually, it's a heads or tails scenario. I gave it to Nineball last time. Mildewy, heads or tails?
Tails.
Okay, so it is the one that I was going to talk about, which is Final Fantasy Dissidia. That was my game of a lifetime on the PSP /Vita. My other one was Lord of Arcana, because that's what introduced me to Monster Hunter-style games. But, like I said, they're both right there at that level. Definitive is Dissidia, so there you go. Dissidia for me. I'm going to start off this one, which is PS4. Final Fantasy VII Remake. Final Fantasy VII Remake. That's what it is for me. PS4, Final Fantasy VII Remake. No questions asked. Mildewy Carrot.
PS4.
PS4, man. Ooh, you are... I'm about to go Horizon.
Zero Dawn. Nice.
Horizon. I was going to go... No, actually, we're refreshing. Rewind. Tomb Raider.
Okay.
Going Tomb Raider. Nice. Straight through.
Cool.
I love... Both of them are really fantastic games. I wish Horizon hadn't come out the same series as... Tomb Raider, because Tomb Raider is just fantastic. Such a good retelling of the whole Tomb Raider story. So good.
S-Killed says his would be, I would say, Fortnite, only because it changed so many other games. at this point, Fortnite's not even a game anymore. It's literally like a service. It's an industry. It's a community. Like, you have concerts in Fortnite. You have events that happen in Fortnite. They didn't just change other games necessarily. They changed the way that people do marketing. Literally, there'll be who else can have a Ariana Grande and a Travis Scott concert in the video game? Like, that's kind of what had shifted some of the meta talks that we have right now with Facebook and stuff like that. So, Nyball. PS4 game of a lifetime.
Oh, God. This one's actually tough. I had quite a few I used to play the mess out of. I can't really think of none.
Dig deep.
I don't really... it would probably be the Tomb Raiders. I did play a lot of the Tomb Raiders. That's the only one I beat both Tomb Raiders straight out. I can't really think of none offhand right now, which is weird.
There's so many. Eskil says, is it your favorite game or best game in the series? In this case, for that particular generation of console that we're talking about, and you already heard about the older games that we're talking about, we're saying for us individually, what is the game of a lifetime? What is the game that we like? When you think of this console, it's definitive that this is the best game ever made for this console. So in that case, for me, I said for my PS4 selection was Final Fantasy VII Remake. And then both just confirmed it was Tomb Raider. Eskild says if it's favorite, then I would say Rainbow Six Siege. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I always wanted to play Eskild. How is that game? I always wanted to play that one.
I think that's included inside the subscription service.
I might have to check that out.
Yeah, you might have to dig, but I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong, but I think that's actually included inside the PlayStation Plus Extra / Premium. All right, Xbox side of it. I want to start off with Mills. Do we care it? Xbox Original.
Ooh, this one's tough.
Oh, Xbox Original?
Yes.
All right. I really, really want to say Halo series just because that's what me and my brother used to play a lot of.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go MechWarriors on this one. Oh, the MechWarriors for the Xbox. MechAssault for Xbox.
heard that, man.
I know people are probably like, oh, you're not doing like Halo? I'm like, Halo is fantastic. Gears of War is fantastic. I really love my Mech Assault. That was fun.
Okay.
So.
Nine ball.
Oh, original. This one was tough. But I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to go with Phantom Dust.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not surprised because of how much you bring up Phantom Dust in the years whenever we talk about Xbox exclusiveness and stuff like that.
Phantom Dust was an excellent game.
Eskild says, I love it, but I love it. To be honest, it's hard to learn, but I have so many different moments with it, Nineball. It's so much better to play with other people you know. Talk about Rainbow Six Siege. There you go.
Okay, good.
I would say mine is not an Xbox One, Xbox Original exclusive, but it was definitely something I played a lot on Xbox, and it was Def Jam Fight for New York. I have to put that up there. Def Jam Fight for New York was definitely my jam on Xbox. I will start off this next one for Xbox 360, and I would have to say now that one would be Halo 3. Halo 3 was definitely that point. Because that's when I started but that's when I started seeing more. Actually, was that the first time? I think that was the first time we started seeing game fuel. Like advertisements of video games on
actual. Yeah, it was with Halo.
Yeah. So that was happening for like the Mountain Dews and stuff. The special. Like, I kid you not, man. I used to drink that stuff like it was water at that time period. Because it was just like, oh, get the game fuel. Let's go. That's what it was like. Yeah, it was definitely what's up. So, Halo 3, definitely... Ooh, is it Halo 3?
Yeah,
I gotta take it back. It's not Halo 3. It's not Halo 3 now. I'm saying it out loud. I would disgust myself if I did not say this. Saints Row. Saints Row was the one for me. That was the game of a lifetime for Xbox.
That was on Xbox, yeah. I think
it wasn't an exclusive, but
I think 2 didn't come out till Xbox 360, right? I'm just trying to remember my time frame.
That's correct, yeah.
Gotcha. All right, cool. Yeah. I wanted to make sure I knew which one I was talking about.
Well, both of them came out on 360, so you would have been right either way.
Okay.
Mildewy.
360?
Yes.
I got to do Saints Row. That game was so... you're going to hate me, though, because 2 and up were fantastic. 1 was okay. Like
I liked 1. 2 was better.
I got a little annoyed with it just because it reminded me too much of GTA, and I got frustrated with GTA. But 2 and up were fantastic and fun. I had so much fun with those games. So many laughs.
The one thing that I thought was awesome in 1 is, and this is a spoiler, but this game's been out for at least like 20 years, so get over yourself. the main character that you created doesn't say a single word until like the very end. Like they're in the elevator and Gat is like talking mad trash, and they're like the little elevator music's playing. He says something, and all of a sudden your person's just like, shut the F up. Like, I was just like, wait, what? You can talk this entire game and didn't say a thing? So, yeah, it was just, that was something that was kind of different and unique, and I was just like, that's kind of funny. But, you know, I enjoyed the first one, the second one the best. Third one was still, like, it was still good to me, but started kind of getting a little bit on the weird side. And then that's the fourth, to my understanding, they just went completely off the rails and straight into the anime world. Nineball, 360.
Oh, Xbox 360. Yes. Oblivion.
Okay, yes.
Ooh.
I can understand that.
Bringing out the Elder Scrolls there.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I ain't even going to tell you. I can't. I'm going to just leave it a secret how many hours I blew on that game.
Is it less than or equal to my Monster Hunter World hours?
it's let's just say it's above 500.
It's over 5,000. I'll be looking for a bit, lads. Have a good night if I don't come back. Appreciate you for dropping in. Yeah, it's been a while. Don't be a stranger, man. We appreciate you. We love you. And hopefully we'll see you on the next stream. But yeah, all right. Awesome. Oblivion. Yeah, there's definitely some. Oblivion was the first one that got me into the Elder Scrolls series. I didn't play Morrowind. Oblivion was the first one that was just like, okay, there's something with this game. And I liked how you can make the choices. You can become a crook. You can kind of have all of these different types of jobs depending on your decisions and how you wanted to go about it. So I thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
I almost took back my answer again, but I can't do that a third time. So I'll leave it alone. Xbox One. Nineball.
Ooh, Xbox One.
Yes. This one for my 360 is going to be for my Xbox One because it exists there too as well. What I'm about to say whenever I get to it.
Xbox One. This one's tough.
Pausing real fast just since he's about to get ready to leave. He says, also, PS1 Crash Bandicoot, check. 2 PS2 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, check. And then PS3 Uncharted 3. That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Nice.
See, we here. We here, my dude. All right. Back to you, Nineball.
You said Xbox One or Xbox One?
Yeah, Xbox One. I know. They did.
Oh, my God. I almost forgot about this game, and I done preached it to the mountain. Lost Odyssey.
I heard that.
Yep. I know about Lost Odyssey.
Yep.
I preached that one to the... Oh, God. I'm about to...
But yeah.
All right. Mildred.
Never played Xbox One.
So you're passing.
I got passed.
I didn't jump on Xbox One either, but there's a game that was on the PS4 that I didn't mention but is also on the Xbox One, and that is Dragon Age Inquisition. That's my selection for that one.
Okay.
Yep, yep, yep. And lastly, but not leastly, and I'm going to start, I'll be the last one on this one because you guys are the PC gaming gurus. I want to start off with Mildew Carrot. PC gaming.
PC gaming. Oh, you are such a troll. There is way too much stuff with PC gaming going on currently.
Yeah, just think about the number one game that stands out to you when you think about PC gaming in general as a whole. And like that you always go to, that is your game of a lifetime that you love playing.
There's so many games I've got that I do that with. In terms of the amount of hours that I've spent playing, because I have so much doing it with, I'm going to have to say Fallout 4.
Okay.
Fantastic story. Massive world that you can play in. A lot of stuff going on with it. Just, you know, a lot of things you can do. It's so much fun. So I'm going to have to go with that.
Okay. Nineball.
Oh, this is easy. Skyrim.
Okay.
An ungodly amount of hours.
That's where it really is, over 9,000.
Anybody knows that when you play that on your system, you spend so much time on it, it's not even funny.
Facts. If I'm talking about current, it is Final Fantasy 14. But that's not my pick. That's an honorable mention. It's not my pick because this pick, the reason, there's more to this. So behind this reasoning is because, one, it was something that got me into PC gaming officially. Of course, obviously, I'm still primarily a console gamer, but the thing that made me consider PC gaming, mouse and keyboard and everything like that, is Knight Online, which is an MMORPG. I wouldn't be surprised if you guys hadn't even heard of it.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not surprised. It was one of those games that you're like searching for free MMOs, and I was just searching through, and that was a game that grabbed me and my buddy Caleb. Which that's another thing. Like, he's unfortunately no longer with us, which is more sentimental value. So as much as I love my Final Fantasy 14 and my Final Fantasy universe for a very similar reason, I have to respectfully put Knight Online on there, because without that, I don't know if I would ever gotten to PC gaming. And then the last one, I know I just said last one for PC gaming, but we do have one more that I completely overlooked, and that is Nintendo Switch. I know that's technically current gen right now, but there's the OLED model, and they're talking about other, like, it's old. Nintendo Switch is in that transition from PS4, Xbox One to PS5 and Xbox Series X's. So I'm just going to include that in there. So I know you don't have a Nintendo Switch Nineball, so we'll pass on you.
How do you know?
Did you get your Steam Deck already?
No, it hasn't arrived yet.
Okay, so I was going to arrive
sometime in this. Hopefully sometime in this century.
Yeah, I know that's PC gaming, and I was going to include you still since it's technically portable. But yeah, we'll go ahead and go on over to Mildew and Carrot. Nintendo Switch game of a lifetime. What is it for you?
Monster Hunter Rise.
There we go.
Need to ask me?
I did have to ask. For me, I don't really play a whole lot of Switch right now, but I would have to say it's actually a PS1 title that's on there, and that will be Final Fantasy IX, if I had to choose anything that's on there currently. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, so that does our little wrap-up of Games for a Lifetime with ALWT Gaming Cast. Now, I do want to talk about story number two, which is a two-parter on here. And we'll kind of go through these relatively quickly. There's not really a ton of news today, which is kind of a good thing. So we can just talk about some random stuff. Last of Us updates. Two-parter on here. I'm going to read both parts before we start diving into this and give our thoughts about this. Eddie Mackick from GameSpot says this in their article. A developer working on The Last of Us Part 1 for PlayStation 5 has reacted to the criticism of the game, and particularly how some are viewing it as quote-unquote cash grab. Reacting to the debate and discussion on Twitter, cinematic animator Robert Morrison said, quote, "Actually, it's most meticulously built around and crafted project that I have ever seen or been a part of in my entire career," end quote. Morrison also reacted to how The Last of Us Part 1 is priced at $70, which is more that than some might have expected. The developer said, quote, "The price of the game is out of my control and worth is subjective to each individual," end quote. Quote, "You can decide for yourself if you want it or not. All I'm saying is I'm aware of, all I'm saying is I am in awe of the work that is that an amazing group of people did on the project. Tremendous amount of passion was put into it," Morrison added. And then part two of this is Jordan Jerblick from Games Radar says this as far as another update for Last of Us Part 1. "The Last of Us Part 1 has gone gold ahead of its September launch, Naughty Dog has announced. The studio took to Twitter on Monday afternoon, so yesterday, to celebrate the good news, as when a game goes gold, it means the publisher has deemed it to deemed it finished and ready to ship. Typically, it also marks the point at which the game will most likely not be delayed, barring any unforeseen circumstances that might affect its release date, which this one is September 2nd, 2022. So if anyone is interested in picking up Last of Us Part 1, which is a remake, not a remaster of the original part, Last of Us, so there might be some things that are different officially, you guys can do so on September 2nd, 2022. End quote, end story. So I want to take it to Mildew Care first. Well, first off, who has played Last of Us and beat Last of Us?
Played it, still haven't gotten to the ending of it because I keep forgetting to go back.
Okay. All right. Nightball, you take a sip of your water. I'm assuming, he's like, I'm assuming that means you have it.
Look at that face like, he's like, no, Mom. I just took out the trash.
I have it. I really need to play it. I really, really, really need to play it. And I need to stop procrastinating on my library.
I feel you.
It's been absolutely terrible. I still got to do Final Fantasy VII Remake.
And it, if you have a PS5.
I got a PS5.
I said and integrate since you have a PS5 because integrate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'll start it and then we'll work our way around. And Nightball, if you have any comments, you're welcome to leave it. If not, that's perfectly fine. So I think that Last of Us Original was already a fantastic game. Beat it, enjoyed the entire game that I played through it. I even had the remastered, Last of Us Remastered, but that was because it's included inside the PlayStation Plus collection. I don't know if there's really a need for Last of Us Part 1, depending on what they do with it. If they do the Final Fantasy VII Remake treatment, sure, I'm all for that. I don't know if that's what this is going to be in its entirety. I know there's going to be some things that are different, but I don't know if there's going to be enough things that are different. In Final Fantasy VII Remake from the original, there's enough things that are so different that it's own game by itself, to the point to where fans will be able to come inside Final Fantasy VII Remake not having a clue of Final Fantasy VII Original, beat Final Fantasy VII Remake, and feel like there's more, like, I feel like it's a complete game. They're like, I can't believe there's more parts to this. That's the energy that Final Fantasy VII Remake brings. I don't know if, and again, it brings that because it is very different than the original. There's some similarities, of course, there. There's some references, of course, there. But it's very different as a whole spectrum. And again, it's so different to the point to where I don't know where the rest of the parts are going to go. Like, I'm excited for the rest of this journey for Final Fantasy VII Remake, the trilogy. For Last of Us... For Last of Us Part 1, I don't know if it's going to be different enough for them to have a full-fledged $70 price game to come back out again. With that being said, people complaining online probably should just shut up. You either just buy it or don't. You're not like, just let your wallets do your talking for you. You don't have to criticize everybody for every nook and cranny that they want to do. You know how many reiterations of Nintendo Switch games have been coming out there forever? You know what I mean? Like, you either buy it or you don't. Like, that's perfect. Just shut up and do that. Like, If you support it, buy it. If you don't, then leave it alone. I don't understand why that's so hard for people to grasp. Mildewy.
I mean, we've been seeing this kind of going on a bit recently with the whole remake thing. You got the 7, you got a couple more that are coming out, so it doesn't surprise me that The Last of Us is trying to get on board with it too, so it's a remake, so interesting to see what they do with it, but yeah, it doesn't really make me like giddy or anything, so it doesn't make me like, oh, ha, ha, ha. You know, not that little schoolyard, you know, schoolboy glee, the little chair face and eyes gleaming with light as you just announced the greatest thing in the world to me. You know, yeah. It's like, nah, it's just, it's there. It's like, cool.
The other thing that I will add before I get on over to Nine Ball, the other thing I will add is that a lot of these remakes are games that have been gone for a long time already, and then they get remade into something more modern. Again, Final Fantasy VII original, the remake, that perfect example. Yeah, barely even humans. They're just cubes walking around that shaped like a human almost. And being to be actually full-fledged, fleshed-out characters with that actually talk, because they didn't talk in VII original. So you had to read it back then. So they actually talk, and it's not turn-based ATB. It's actually action combat, almost live action strategy, stuff like that. Almost a Dragon Age-esque style, actually. You're switching between characters, all that good stuff. So it's entirely different there. Even for when we talk about Crash Bandicoot. The Crash Bandicoot from back on PS1 to some of the Crash 4, which is out right now on the Plus. Actually, there's new games that... The new games come out today? No, that was last week. So, yeah. The Crash 4, Spyro, there's a Spyro remake. Even for Tony Hawk Pro Skater, they remade those games. So, like, a lot of those games, for the most part, not saying all the games, but for the most part, those games they need a remake because they've been out since PS1, PS2, borderline PS3. I think when you get to PS3, it's like, does it really need a remake? And that's I think that's part of the discussion here for Last of Us, is because that was PS3. It already was ahead of its time, tech-wise and narrative-wise and gameplay-wise. So it's just like, it actually feels like a PS4 game, really. And so it's just like, does this really need a remake? That's where I think people are kind of like a little baffled, understandably. I just don't understand what the complaints are. If the company decided to do it, fine, cool. Buy it if you like it. Don't buy it if you don't. Perfectly fine. Nine Ball.
I'm on the fence with this one. I've been reading that it's going to be $70.
Yeah.
They just released it. Like, it's not like it's a rare. It's not like a game that.
Well, they released part two, which that's entirely different.
They released part. They have like part one on the PS3. Then they did a remaster on the PS4.
Early they PS4, doing a, yeah.
They doing a that now they're doing a remaster on the PS5. Like, how many different versions do they have?
Yeah, and I agree. I agree with that, and that's kind of why I go back to, because me and you have the same mindset here. I agree with that. Only if it's the same exact game.
Yes, they need to separate it pretty big on this one. Because to be honest, just saying that this one is like okay, or this is just like a little bit of shading difference. Ooh, we added ray tracing. $70, please. No, that's not good enough. No,
$70 for ray tracing. Really? There's a mod for Minecraft, and it's free to get that, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should.
Go ahead.
They really should do, like, a big, big difference on it. It really needs to be a something that really separates it.
Agreed.
I feel like more content. If you're going to charge people, like, why buy? I mean, really, it's going to pose a question, why buy the PS5 edition where you can get the PS4 edition, I think, for free? Is it on the PlayStation?
It's part of the PlayStation Plus collection.
Yeah, PlayStation Plus collection.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're going to need something to sell it that's going to go, well, yeah, we need to really show that, you know, this is
this value is
yeah, it casts more value. Maybe add more content or something to it, other than just, you know, we updated the graphics.
Yeah,
here $70. No, that's not good enough.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And again, like, we'll find out what that looks like come September. One thing that will be interesting is if they decide to make it $70, but it's included if you have PlayStation Plus Extra or Premium. That would be a very interesting take if they decide to do that in the event it's the same game. I don't expect them to do that if it's not the same game, but if it's very much just this is Last of Us Part 1, prettier, maybe updated game and mechanic, like actual controls and stuff like that, because I'm pretty sure they're keeping the same voice acting. I think they kept the same voice acting.
The voice actors were fine. The voice actors, perfect. I played a bit of it. The voice actors are excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, they were perfect. So
we don't need
I,
to change them.
Yeah, so everything else is going to be the same. I think that the combat might be a little different, and I think some of the I think that the graphics obviously will be they've already confirmed that the graphics are definitely different, but I am curious as to, again, what does this remake really going to look like? So we'll just have to cross that bridge in about 2 months. Story number three, why Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is next-gen only. And I'm going to stop right there. Before I even dive into this, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is slated for winter of 2023. What that means is anywhere between November of 2023 to, like, March of 2024.
Yeah, basically the fourth fiscal year.
Exactly.
Fourth quarter.
Yeah, so that's what that means. So think about that. PlayStation 5 has been out since November of 2020. So now, granted, we've obviously had a shortage. We've had people trying to get them. We have scalpers out there. Whatever. All right. On a normal circumstance, we would already be segueing on over from PS4. The PS5 probably this year. So a lot of those people that want to have PS5s, like the organization will probably be shifted to PS5 only games, honestly, probably right about now. The fact that this is even a story baffles me, and I'll get into that in a minute. Hiron Cryer from Games Radar says this in the article: Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is a PS5 exclusive because of the new gen consoles graphical quality and high speed SSD. The news comes from Final Fantasy VII series producer Yoshinori Kitase in a new interview with Japanese publication Gamer, opens in a tab, and translated by Jamatsu, opens in a new tab. quote, "It's exclusive to PS5 because the graphical quality, of course, as well as the SSD access speed," Kitase said of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Quote, "Since the adventure unfolds in a vast world after escaping from Midgar, loading stress is an extremely bottleneck. We felt we needed the specifications of PS5 to overcome that and travel the world comfortably," the Final Fantasy VII series producer continued. Last year in 2021, the game co-director Nakoi Hamaguchi revealed that part two of the remake series will explore in the vastness of the world. Right now, at least, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is planned as a PS5 exclusive when it launches next winter in 2023. The reason Kitase has addressed this exclusivity is because the Final Fantasy VII Remake started out life on the PS4 exclusive before arriving on PC following a year in 2021. As of right now, though, it seems that there aren't. It seems like the plans aren't any plans for a remake. The remake treatment for Rebirth. I am like, good riddance. That's my thought. I might be a little harsh on that, but if you don't have a PS5 by the time this game comes out, you weren't trying. You were not trying. If I, a sole individual, was able to get 9 PS5s in 1 year. I got 9 PS5s in 1 year.
Now we know where they all went.
I don't want to hear it. Both of you guys, I was able to get yours. So I don't want to hear it. But I was supposed to say, if I'm able to do that.
You hear me complaining about it.
I was supposed to say, you kept quiet. This one over here had a little something to say. If I'm able to get just under 10 PS5s in 1 year, I'm pretty sure that somebody that really is trying to get one could have got one by now. Plus, on top of that, they are going to be trying to push more production within the next two years. So by the time this game comes out, you should be able to get one. The people are just like, oh, what's up?
I was about to say, also the chip shortage is starting to come down some.
Exactly, yeah, which is going to help us be able to get more out there with the publishers and all that good stuff. The people that's just like, oh, well, they're just looking for they're ignoring the last gen stuff. I don't hear them making any, like, people that's still on PS3, like, how ridiculous would that be if they're just like, hey, why don't you make this for PS3? I mean, we still out here. Do you know how ridiculous that sounds? Like, that's how it sounds like to me when it's this far out from part 2 of the remake coming out. Like, it's not at the end of this year, which I still think would have been fine. It's not the end of this year. It's not even at the beginning of next year. We don't even know if it's even going to be at the end of next year. For all we know, it can be early 2024. So once again, I say to the public that's complaining about this, shut up. If you want to go ahead and play your Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, start now to get yourself a PS5. You have 2 years to do it.
Why did they name it Rebirth?
Well, they're sticking with the RE sequence. So Rebirth, or Remake, Reborn, and then probably Revengeance or Retribution or something.
Please not Revenge. Please not Revenge.
We'll see.
Revenge.
But yeah, so that's all I gotta say about that. Like, if you're really having a hard-on for this, just get yourself a PS5 and you'll be fine. K-Saw.
I just want to know who's getting a hard-on for it regardless.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's people that's... Because I've been seeing this happen all around. They're just like, I can't believe Sony would do this when it's so hard to get a PS5. Like they've been making a lot of stuff already catering to that audience for the past 2 years now. It's time to move on. This is old technology for a reason. Being able to focus just on next-gen stuff now... You don't have to worry about making it accessible for the past gen stuff, which allows the developers and creators more time to perfect this game or any games coming out for that matter moving forward. You know, like get over yourself. Just get yours. If you are that upset about what it, at the end of the day, people just don't want to spend money on it. That's what they're doing. They're just like, well, I already have a PS4, and if it comes out, then I'll go and drop $60 for it. But if it doesn't come out for the console that I have, then I have to spend $500 for another console, and then the game. I get it. $500 is a lot of money. I get it. But if you want to play this game, and if you're a gamer, just go ahead and upgrade. The PC community does it on an annual basis. I don't understand why people can't do it once every 7 years. That's my take.
Okay. Well, after that...
Yeah, I know.
I'm totally in the same league. I mean, it's been out long enough, and here goes the problem. If you try to go backwards and forwards, this was one of the problems, and I'm going to bring this game up again, Cyberpunk 2077.
Facts! Preach!
You cannot go backwards and forward.
Ow!
I don't know why. It's an M for starters. Okay, I'm going to get on my little PC knick-knack ray, but for starters, it's an NVMe, not an SSD.
Talk to him, Reverend Trev.
It's a smaller SSD. They just called it an NVMe.
The thing about it is the NVMe's, and this is why I was so happy when the consoles finally started using them, the load times go from slim to almost nothing on those compared to trying to put that in the PlayStation 4. Trying to load that mess into the PlayStation 4 is going to have problems. Speaking of, since I talked about the Elder Scrolls, let's talk about Morrowind.
Facts.
Morrowind had a problem to where it was an open world game, but it had to constantly keep loading, and this led to a lot of errors and stuff during the game. The consoles need to move forward. In order to move forward, they have to let go of the past. You cannot keep making PlayStation 4 games and for PlayStation 5, because really you're really just bottlenecking the PlayStation 5. You don't need to keep doing that. Around this time, it was like, what we're going to be saying, 2023, 2024. About this time, it should be about the time to where you can go on ahead and move forward. Because by then, most people that, like you said, that will need a place, that will want a PlayStation 5, will have a PlayStation 5. And if you don't, you can stick back with the PlayStation 4. It's not a big problem. There's plenty of games you can still play on the PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. And wait until you can finally pick up a 5. I mean, it's not like in the end the game's going to really go anywhere. Because it's going to be mostly, even if you can't get it day one, it's still going to be on a digital market.
Exactly.
I feel like this is the right move, and around that time is the right call. All these need to start moving up. I know, I don't know what Xbox is doing, but they need to do the same thing as well. You don't need to keep making it for both consoles. You just focus on the one. It'll make the game better, it'll make it smoother, and have less errors.
Well, Xbox is not worried about this because their main focus is Game Pass. So they honestly, I think at this point, they just have something out there just so they're competitive in the, hey, we have a powerful hardware. Hey, we have SSD.
No, no, they gotta have. Like they have some stuff they're working on. I know that. You don't.
I'm not saying that they're not. I'm not saying that they're not working on it. But I'm just saying that's not their primary focus. Their primary focus is getting Game Pass
into places. Yeah. And then, you know, they're going to go on ahead and start releasing, because that's the reason why you would buy so many of these things. That's why even with them, I'm saying that I'm hoping that even when the new, you know, Hellblade 2 comes out, that it probably will be an Xbox. Which Xbox are we at again? Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
XS10.
They really got to work on that name in the department.
XSX. XSSX XVX.
Mildew, what does this news do for you? I know you haven't really dabbled too much inside Final Fantasy VII Remake at all, but as far as the game, like the future of games in general, what does this do?
Y'all pretty much just... I just sat in the backpack and let y'all run the marathon for me on this one. Good Lord. Jesus, like, you know, like, I mean, you guys said it all. I mean, pretty much it's like technology is going to keep evolving, and eventually what was once new is going to be old. That's just how shit works. Who remembers Blackberries? All right, yeah. Raise your hand if you remember Blackberry phones.
Yeah.
You know, who remembers the Blackberry razors, too? Who remembers flip phones, guys? And I'm not talking about the new stuff with the flex screens and all. That's brand new shit. I'm talking about the old, you flip it, you press a bunch of buttons, you make calls and do some text, and that's it. You couldn't even read your goddamn emails. There's on no there. Pardon my friend.
Oh, you think that's going back? Just wait till I find my pager.
Yeah, no, like, seriously, guys, like, what was once the new is going to be old. We just got to go with it. You know, what we want to definitely see, though, is for them to make technology to where we can all get it eventually, you know, to an affordable rate, or to a point where there's enough gaps between it towards, like, someone could buy into whatever is the not new but not old sector and still be able to play the stuff that we are currently having out. You know, you definitely want to have that aspect. But as of right now, what we got is what we got. And that's with world events and everything going on. And the fact that they want to push this game forward to be only on this next-gen console, that tells you how much is going to be in this game. You know, because if you were to put something this big on something old, you have to shave it down. I'm talking shear the sheep down to bald. Like, bare-ass newborn babe, you know, like, you gotta take all that weight off. Like, it's... And then it wouldn't... It really probably wouldn't convey the effect that they wanted to, you know, that the developers would want to go for. So, it's just stuff that we have to get used to, and it's to the point of... Like I said, go back to it, it's like, we gotta try and make technology probably more available to people who can get it. But right now, it's not one of those times. So, unfortunately, you know, we're in this situation. I feel like it's a catch-22 type thing, to where it's like they want to put out a game, make it so much better on the newest gens, but there's not much out there, and not a lot of people on them currently. Even though they are starting to get more on them, and it's like, oh, we can't afford it because now the inflation prices, and it's just going to be.
Yeah,
that's just going to be the it of the time currently. There's nothing we can or can't do.
Yeah,
you know. So, I don't know what else to say. Like, I really don't know what else.
We just need to move forward. I mean, again, you're either moving with technology and transforming forward, or you get left behind. And so the people that's complaining about it, I just feel like they're just getting left behind because they're not trying to change. They're not trying to get these consoles. They're not trying to push with the industry. So not really much more to talk about on that. Story number four, PlayStation adds to their nation. John Esposito from Game Rant says this in an article. In an early morning announcement, PlayStation has confirmed that the deal to acquire Jade Raymond Studios, Haven Studios, is finally official. The deal has been in the works since March, and with it finally closed, Haven will now join the PlayStation family to put PlayStation's name in the growing live service market. Earlier this year, Sony announced that Destiny developer and Halo creator Bungie would be joining PlayStation. The move came from as bit of a surprise as more details released describing it would be more of a partnership rather than a full-scale purchase of the team. With Sony's plans to release 10 live service games by 2026, it seems like Bungie might be a helping hand in this plan alongside the officially acquired Haven Studio. With the deal finally complete, Haven Studio joins the growing list of studios under PlayStation name. Haven Studios is also reportedly working on a live service title for the PS5, and with the information being scarce at the moment, it further indicates that PlayStation is preparing to throw its name in the growing market of live service games. I want to start off with you, Mildewy. What does this news do for you?
Feels like we're back kind of like to still hearing about like all these pickups and all. So from the developers and everything, like they're still doing like these buyouts of these companies that they want to try and get bring underneath their banner, you know, so the PlayStation Nation, which is kind of concerning still, because, you know, I definitely want to still see those independent studios out there. You know, I love those indie games on Steam. So the fact that these big companies are trying to buy up a lot of these other developers is kind of worrying. So we're just going to have to wait for the Trade Commission to get their acts together to review these things, which I'm not praying for any time past 2077, you know.
But it also goes by how is it, like, being handled when those companies mm-hmm. own them, right? Because, like, on the independent studio side, they don't have to worry about finances anymore necessarily. They just have to focus on making good games. And depending on if you're being stifling, like if you're EA and you're hindering your creative teams from being able to expand to where they are at, that's when it's a problem. But if you're able to, also in the same vein, if you are EA and you're allowing that creative freedom for Respawn, for example, mm-hmm. to keep on coming out with these great, incredible games, then it's just that could be a plus. So it just kind of comes down to how's it being handled once they're acquired by these companies.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things in here that, you know, that raise cause for some concerns with me. And it's more like I said, it's, you know, like you said, it's, you know, how are they handling it, you know, and then how are they integrated? Are they still allowed to be kind of themselves? Are they, you know, allowed to be creative? Or are they only allowed to create things and then set it up to pop a PlayStation? And he says, you know, yay or nay on it, you know. Does a Sony pony give a yay or nay, you know? So, I mean, like, if the Haven wants to go with them, you know, it's awesome, cool. You know, that they made that business choice. You know, I'm just, you know, hoping for the best and hope everything goes smoothly and that they're still allowed to do what they do, you know.
Nine ball.
Oh, God, it feels like kickball. In some ways, it feels like when you're picking people in kickball, everybody's picking team members.
Yeah.
I don't have much to say about this right now. I want to see what they come out with. And this one's hard to talk about. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know what Haven Studios really made so far.
You always see the logo, like the little Haven yellow whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This could be really good for them, or it could blow back up. I mean, I don't know about the 10 live service game by 2026.
Oh, they got 4 years to do it. But it's not just Haven, though. That's PlayStation's diagram overall. That's just whoever they work with, that's what their plan is for a live service game. So roughly that's about, they're doing 2026, 2 years. That means that they have to at least come out with four next year. And then,
yeah, but will they be good?
Well, and that's where I think that Haven and Bungie comes in. That's why they're inside this article, is because they have experience with those live service titles. So Haven's
actually headed up by someone by the name of Jade Raymond, who helped Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs.
Yeah,
but I've heard this before. I was watching, like, I watch a lot of those. Have you ever watched a lot of those Death of the Game? Mm-hmm. A lot of these people are really good. I was just watching, what game was that? Some of the worst games to ever come out. And one of the games you hear a lot thrown around was Daikatana. And the maker of Daikatana made the original Doom. And Daikatana is considered one of the worst games to ever launch. Well, you know, Doom is one of the best games to ever launch. It basically cemented the first-person shooters.
Yeah.
I want to see what some of these games are before I say a lot about it. I mean, I'm open to the possibility of good games, but I want to see them first.
Yeah, I am sort of in the same boat. I do like the, I hope, I mean, obviously they're just trying to, PlayStation's just trying to include, like, improve their arsenal. Like, again, they have the Japanese market already. They have narrative games, they have the exclusives, which is what pretty much people get the PlayStations for. If they have an Xbox and a PlayStation, there's a reason for that. It's not just, you know what I mean, it's not just because you're trying to get third-party games on both of these. Like, one of them might be your overall gamer, and then one of them might be your exclusive machine, you know, stuff like that. So there is definitely a reason for that. I do want to see more of what they're going to be doing in the live service space. I also think that doing this will help with their streaming capabilities when it comes on over to PS3 titles, and then also whatever that they're going to plan on trying to do for the plus and extra services moving forward. I have a feeling that they're going to try to incorporate all of that together. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see. 10 live service games within the next 10 years or next 4 years, I think it's very doable, but I am curious to see what those quality style games are going to be. I know that if it's going to be a PlayStation exclusive, PlayStation will have to feel that it's a premium quality game to put out. If not, at least premium enough to put on their services, like their premium subscription, so that way we're still getting something throughout that. So it may not be a Naughty Dog, but it might be a Stray, you know? So we'll have to see. A couple fun ones for you guys, but before we jump into that, I do want to remind you guys about Fantasy Gaming League that we are in. Just kind of throwing that out there once again, as newer some games had actually recently dropped. And what it is, very, very similar to fantasy football, but instead of being against one person on a weekly basis, you're against everybody at the same time. Every time you say
that, it makes me think of Silent last year.
We're against everybody at the same time on an annual basis. It's on a 100-point scale, with 70 points being the threshold on Metacritic. Anything that scores on Metacritic above 70 points gains you points. Anything below that loses you points. And then there's also counter picks for your opponents. So if, for example, Silent had counter picked a game on my list, I cannot drop that game. If it comes out and does great, I gained those points like I normally would have, but Silent would lose those points because he had counterpicked it. On the vice versa side, if it ends up doing poorly, then I lose those points just like I would have, but he actually gains those points, which gives him an edge in the race. So on here, we have first place still, Moga, Make Ohio Great Again, which is Ohio, has Elden Ring with 31 points. Pokemon Legends Arceus, 14 points. Sifu, 10 points. Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, 12 points. Marvel's Midnight Suns, pending. He has Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, got him 17 points. He has two open spots, and he has a counter pick of Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, which is on Renzoku Ken's list, and not coming out this year. He has 83 points in total. In second place is Carrot Patch Inc., who has... has Gran Turismo 17 points. Forspoken, delayed. It's not coming out this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, I see that. That kind of hurt.
Yeah. Got a Tunic, which is pending, or at 15 points. Splatoon 3, pending. Stray, pending for next week. Salt and Sacrifice, 6 points. Advanced Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp, pending. Hogwarts Legacy, pending. He has a counterpick of Chocobo GP, which got him 5 points because it got 65 on Metacritic. That was also on Rinzoku-kun's list, a.k.a. Silent. And like I said, he's in second place with 43 points. In third place is ALWT Gaming, a.k.a. me. I have Horizon Forbidden West, 18 points. Plague Tale Requiem, pending. Ghostwire Tokyo, 6 points. Gotham Knights, pending. King of Fighters, 15, 11 points. Mario Strikers Battle League, 3 points. Callisto Protocol, pending. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, pending. I have a counterpick of Bayonetta 3. And that is on Illuminati Living's list. In fourth place is Rinzoku-kun, who has God of War Ragnarok, pending, but also... we just want to throw it out there that we did get a release date for that, just for anyone that was curious. We did get a release date, and it is for this December, I believe. I think it's December 9th. It's either December 9th or November 9th is one of those two. And that was literally, like, the day after we talked, like, the day right before they announced it, we had talked about it on All Things Gaming, as far as, like, the predictions of when it would actually show up and everything like that, and that was the way it showed up. Triangle Strategy got 13 points for him. Suicide Squad Kill Justice League not coming out this year. Chocobo GP, negative 5 points. Kirby and the Forgotten Land, 15 points. Metroid Prime 4, pending. Digimon Survive, pending. Slime Rancher 2, that's a new pickup for him, pending. And as Diablo Immortal, which got him 7 points, because it got 63 on Metacritic, and that was a counterpick that was also on Illuminatus Living's list. Fifth place is Zaka Corp with It's the Nine Ball. He has Tiny Tina's Wonderland, 8 points. Saints Row was counterpicked, but it's pending. Total War Warhammer 3, 16 points. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, pending. Warhammer 40k Dark Tide, pending. Score, pending. Live Alive, pending. He has an open spot still. He has a counterpick of Marvel's Midnight Suns, which is pending to come out. That is on Make Ohio Great Again's list. And currently in last place right now is Illuminati Living, a.k.a. Illus Be Live. He has Dying Light 2, Stay Human, 6 points. Bayonetta 3, pending. Stranger of Paradise Origins, 3 points. Mario plus Rabbit Sparks of Hope, pending. Diablo Immortal, negative 7 points. Shovel Knight Dig, pending. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, pending. He has an open spot and he has a counterpick of Saints Row, which is on Zaka Corp's list. So there you guys have it. We'll keep you guys posted on the next time that we're going to be end up doing that. The fun ones for you guys. So E3 still lives.
I've seen
it. It might be on life support, but it still lives. Ethan Gotch from Kotaku says, Ethan Gotch from Kotaku says this in the article. Like the video game with three endings or the final boss that never dies. E3 refuses to die. Now the video game event world is doubling down on it. Rito Pop, organizer of PAX, will New York Comic-Con and Star Wars Celebration, announced Thursday it will take over planning the annual Summer Gaming Showcase and relaunch it with a return to form in 2023. That move raises the stakes for an impending showdown with rival event Summer Game Fest held by Game Awards host Jeff Keighley. E3's planners are pitching, quote, exclusive access to feature of gaming, end quote, at the overhauled event and says it will bring back publishers, developers, journalists, content creators, manufacturers, buyers, and licensors in Los Angeles early next June, while also highlighting the digital showcase and featuring in-person consumer components. So there you have it. And this one, ALWT Gaming, might be checking out. This might be a good way to kind of come back because it's not underneath the same organization as E3. Even though we enjoyed our time when we were out there, we had a good time back in 2018. They just haven't gotten it right since then. But with this one, with this being ReadPop, that's actually coming in and cleaning up the mess It looks like that this might be a good one to check out and good content for us, for our view, for our viewers. So let's take a look. That is pending if we're going to actually attend, but throwing it out there. And then Golden Eyes Timer. So Ryan Dinsdale from IGN says this in the article. This is the other fun one. The long-rumored GoldenEye 007 remake for Xbox has apparently been delayed as a result of the Ukraine war. As reported by industry, as reported by industry insider Jeff Grubb on Twitter below, and corroborated by Eurogamer, a remake of the classic Nintendo 64 game is still in limbo because of the war. There, though nothing is official, this would match reports that the game has been near complete state for a while. A GoldenEye remake appeared closer than ever last month as Microsoft actually listed its achievements on an official website, with some developers already having already unlocked them. Microsoft, therefore, may be ready to release the game. And I put Jeff Grubb's tweet in here, which says, GoldenEye is still in limbo because of the war. One versus 100 teams lead left of Microsoft. I don't know what that means for the game. So throwing it out there, if you guys are curious about GoldenEye, it looks like it's may or may not exist still. Like, it look like they're saying it's in limbo. We don't know how long this is going to be because of the war with Ukraine and stuff, because Russia's being stupid, and yeah, it's just all pending right now. And I personally don't know if there's really a need for GoldenEye in 2022, 2023, but
I feel like it had its time. Like 64 was it?
Yeah,
that was the golden age.
Yeah, that's kind of, I'm in that same boat too. But we'll see what that looks like in the future, if that ends up happening. But if you guys are curious about that, that's the little update for you guys, for GoldenEye fans. This Thursday is our SIN segment as we go through Monster Hunter World. We still got a couple weeks to go as we're going through the campaign, so stay tuned for that. We're going to be going live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time all the way until 10 p.m. Might be a little after 8 depending on when I'm officially home to start the stream. But yeah, just want to give you guys a heads up on that, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then this Saturday is going to be our 9 to 5 segment as we're going to be playing through a disclosed game. I'll let you guys know what that game is throughout the week. But we're going to be playing through a disclosed game, having a good time with that, playing through a game that we haven't played before, to get our first impressions on it, all that good stuff. And then following next Tuesday, the 19th, is going to be All Things Gaming once again. We're going to be talking video game news, all that good stuff. Turning up, turning down for what? I am Malachi 36, Mildew a Carrot. It's the 9 Ball. Until next time, everybody. We love you. We appreciate you guys. And Control-Alt.
Complete.
Complete.
Peace.